A lot of MMA fans might remember Jason Von Flew as a member of the Ultimate Fighter 2 cast, and now he's currently fighting for Strikeforce, the promotion out of San Jose, California, and I'm very proud to have him join me here on JerryPark.com. And Jason, we'll get right to it. The last time fans saw you in a Strikeforce cage was in June. When's the next time you'll be fighting?
For Strikeforce, I'm not too sure. Hopefully January or so.
So you don't...
Right now, I'm going to be fighting for a show called Pure Combat out in Visalia, California on the 1st, this coming Saturday.
So you have a fight this coming Saturday. Who are you fighting against?
The guy's name is Brett Cooper. From my understanding, he's out of Antonio McKee School. He's a wrestler, and yeah.
Have you ever seen him fight? Have you gotten any tape on him or anything?
Regrettably, no. No, I've never seen him fight. All I know is what I've seen on Sure Dog and MMA Weekly, his record.
You know, I've talked to a few fighters, and some guys actually like to say that they don't like to see tape on their opponent beforehand, which strikes me as a little bit odd because you would think that you'd want to see, you know, some of his tendencies, his maneuvers and whatnot. Does it bother you that you can't, you know, watch some tape on your opponent going into a bout, or does that not really concern you that much?
It doesn't really bother me. One example, he's a wrestler that likes to strike. So odds are he's right-handed. Odds are he has a right lead leg shot. So, you know, which means you normally have to throw a right hand to set up that shot. And it's what it is. You know, he's more likely more of a ground and pound type of guy on the ground. So if he gets me down there, he'll probably hang out in guard, pass the side mount, whatever. So you just kind of assume off that and then play it by ear and just work out a game plan in that generalized direction.
So
I'm not sweating it too bad.
Sorry about that. You had three fights for Strikeforce, and now you said that you hope to get back with them in January. What kind of contract did you have with them? Was it a fight-by-fight contract? Was it a three-fight contract?
Actually, I've had two fights for Strikeforce. I have one more. It was a three-fight deal that John Hackelman worked out with them. So, I don't know. As soon as they have an opponent for me, or we call them up and bug them and say, hey, come on, ready to fight again, come on, I'm sure it'll be there.
Almost a year ago today, you fought a man who's making a lot of news within the MMA world, creating a lot of buzz, Kung Lee. And some people are the jury's still out on whether he is for real or not. Perhaps if he gets into the cage with Frank Shamrock, people will be able to fully decide whether or not Kung Lee will be a true force within the world of mixed martial arts. You were actually in there with him. You got to experience it firsthand. Well, what were your thoughts on Kung Lee? I know your fight, it didn't really go as planned, after suffering the cut and everything, but what were your impressions of him?
Well, first and foremost, I just think he's a really great guy. I mean, I said it then, I'll say it now. If you look at his background and stuff, he's really an American dream come true. You know, came here at 5, you know, immigrated here from Vietnam, I think. And he's made a success of his life. So, you know, hats off to him. As for fighting him, 51 seconds isn't enough time to really know how good or bad somebody is. You know, I mean, all we did was exchange, you know, I drew a couple punches, he drew a couple kicks, and as I shot on him, one kick hit me upside the head hard enough to cut me. If you watch the fight, you know, watch it on YouTube, it didn't really faze me. I still shot through, ended up in a body lock. You know, realized I was cut, had to pull guard. You know, as soon as we got stood up, you know, and go for it. Go figure, doctor automatically stops the fight. You know, so it's really hard for me to say that, you know, he's a force or not. In the meantime, since then, I've watched him destroy two more people, you know, and totally control the fight. So, You could say that, you know, if he fights Frank Shamrock, that'll help legitimize him. I mean, the guy sitting on a 5-0 record with all knockouts. You know, I think he's tough as nails, and he actually is a force. Just people need to take hold and notice and say, okay, I mean, how many more wins does it take to say nobody's beating me? You know?
Right. Now, after that fight, which again ended a little prematurely, did you ever go up to the folks at Strikeforce and ask for a rematch? Did they ever tell you that, you know, we're going to look to book this match again to see a true winner? Any talks in that direction?
I talked to him that night. I wasn't happy about the fact that the fight got stopped. Oh, I was honestly just ticked off. And, you know, I understand it's a good call, it's good for the sport that they stopped it, so on and so forth. I've asked for a rematch. And I don't think it's fair for a main event fight like that. You know, people sat there for hours waiting to get to that fight, and the fight goes 51 seconds. No knockout, no submission. You know, nobody quit in that fight. You know, I know I didn't. I honestly, I think they don't want to fight me again. I'm the only guy that he's fought that's managed to take him down. Now, granted, me taking him down was me being forced to full guard because I knew I was cut pretty bad, and I figured the longer we stood standing, more likely that in a semi-neutral position that they would stop the fight and then look at my eye. You know, but I think that kind of messed with him a little bit because, you know, he couldn't, you know, keep it standing.
So, do you think that based on your performance in that fight, they're a little hesitant to put to match you guys up against, in fear of, you know, you potentially beating him? And they have this golden boy, who, as I said, is creating a lot of buzz, and he's sort of now like the hometown guy for the promotion. That they wouldn't want to risk him losing to you.
Yeah, I think so. You know. But, you know, that's just humble, unbiased opinion, like you say, you know. Then again, you know, they're going to have him and Frank fight, and I can't tell you who's going to win that fight. You know, maybe after they're done fighting, maybe I get that rematch in. You know, if not, whatever. You know, you move on. Yeah, you know, sum it up for what it is. Next time I take a shot on a guy that's throwing kicks, I'll keep my hands up a little higher, I suppose. Yeah, learn from it and move forward. What it is what it is.
Now you're approaching 9 years competing in MMA. How did you first get into this sport? I mean, when you came in, it certainly wasn't at the popularity it is today. So what first drew you to you know, follow a career in mixed martial arts?
Love of competing, you know. I started training. I met Liddell one night at a bar. He was bartending, you know, and I didn't know who he was from Adam. And I walk in the bar, and here's this guy, big guy with the mohawk behind the bar. You know, obviously thought he was gay. I'm like, who's this guy? Yeah, I can whoop his butt. You know, and I asked around about the flyers on the wall with for slow kickboxing. I asked the guy behind the bar. I said, ah, great, I gotta go talk to this guy. You know, so I hit him up, and he basically is here just every night that he's worked there. He says, you know, it's my gym, blah, blah, blah. You know, come by tomorrow if you're interested. So I showed up the next day, and I didn't like the kickboxing, but I loved the submission wrestling. And started competing 3 months later at novice beginner level and was winning tournaments. You know, 12 months later, did an amateur fight for Larry Landless, you know, his school against our school, and ended up having to fight twice and won the first fight and had a draw in the second fight. I ended up having to fight twice the same day. And 3 months later or something like that, I fought in an eight-man tournament for IFC, and I actually won the tournament. as a pro tourney, I paid like $1,100, you know, for three fights. I was stoked and hooked, and at that point, I just like, wow, this is so much fun. Yeah, so I haven't been able to stop doing it since. You know, back then we weren't fighting for a lot of money, right? But it's just that love of the sport, that competition, hearing the people scream, you know.
Yeah, and Strikeforce just actually had their own tournament. You were sort of thrown into the fire, fighting those three fights in one night. What do you think about the tournament? There's a lot of, there's a lot of people that say it's not good for the sport. Obviously, the UFC doesn't do them anymore. As a man who competed in a tournament and fought multiple times in one night, what are your thoughts looking back on it?
Man, tournaments are sick. Yeah, it is so freaking cool. You know, you go out there and you keep going, going, going. You know, it's scary. You know, you're going into a fight. You're hoping to win, but you got the possibility of fighting two to three times in a given night. You know, the downside of a tournament is the risk factor for injury. You take a lot of abuse or damage in a fight. Imagine doing it two or three times. You know, so the risk of getting cut or hurt really bad really, really increased. So I could understand them not wanting to do the tournaments, you know, because then what happens if one of your main guys that's in a tournament takes a bad injury? You know, now he's out, you know, because he fought twice in one night and whatnot. So, you know, I understand the pros and cons, but I really like tournaments. I think they're really cool. I wish we'd get to see more of them. I think it allows a outsider to show his heart, his attrition, his will to win.
Now, you fought for many years before being a cast member on The Ultimate Fighter just a couple of years ago, but that's really the point where the mainstream MMA public and the fans got to know about you. How did you get in contact with the guys over there? I mean, obviously you were a late replacement. You came in as an injury replacement for Josh Berkman, but what was the process in terms of trying out for the show and then getting the call to be one of the guys on it?
Well, I submitted a resume and an interview tape like everybody else did, but I wrote Chuck Liddell and John Hagelin all over mine, and was flown out to Vegas for all the medicals and the, you know, interviews and such. And they took, I don't know, from my understanding, there was 1,500 people that submitted the interview. They flew 50 of us up to Vegas, and they took nine. I was number 10 on the list. So, obviously, I was next, but injury happened, and I got a phone call a week and a half into filming from Dana White, and he basically said, "Hey, we need you." Like, okay, cool. So 2 days later, next thing I know, I was flown out to Vegas and walking on that show on a Friday morning. And, dream come true, just unreal.
And you even won your first fight, something a lot of late replacements don't get to do because they're thrown right into the fire. When you came on the show and got the call, were you in fighting condition? Were you ready? Were you training, or was this something where it is kind of a out of the blue and you just had to roll with it?
Oh man. I got a call a week and a half into filming. So a week prior to filming, 2.5 weeks prior to day one of filming, I found out that I wasn't gonna be on the show. I was the alternate. And that unless somebody got injured before the filming started, you know, I wasn't gonna be on the show. So I started crying. I was so upset because I've been training so hard to get ready for that show. And I did what most fighters do, you know. I drank a whole lot that night. And so for about a week, you know, 2 weeks, all I did, you know, I had nothing else to do, was bartending and such. So I was busy just drinking, partying, you know, hanging out, looking for trouble. And I got a phone call. Like I said, it's a Wednesday night. And I had actually just got off a bartending shift, was finishing up my register, and I was 5 minutes away from having a margarita, actually. And I got a phone call from Dana White. I was like, oh crap. And that phone call came in about 9:30 at night. At 12 o'clock that night, I was on a beach doing wind sprints. Figured I might as well start now, trying to burn that alcohol out of my system that had been in there for 2.5 weeks. So I wasn't exactly in fighting shape when I walked on that show. You know, I had a lot of catch up to do.
And one of the coaches on the show was Matt Hughes, who's a coach now as well. And, you know, when he was on the show back then, he might have not have been known so much for the character that he is today. But clearly, you know, the jury is out on Matt Hughes in terms of a lot of people not being a fan of his, kind of, you know, with Matt Serra continuously calling him names and whatnot. What were your impressions of working with Matt? Is he like the character he is portrayed on television?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, Matt's a good guy and all, and I don't want to bash him too much, but, you know, he has that wrestler mentality, that prima donna mentality, plus, you know, being the best in the world, or now one of the best in the world, you know, there's a level of arrogance that goes with that. So, you know, how he is. Myself, my personality just clashed with his quite badly. You know, sometimes there's just people that you don't exactly click with. You know, he was cool with everybody on his team, but here I come 2 weeks in and I get thrown on his team. You know, and it just didn't mix too well with them. And we see each other now and we're cool. I mean, he's a good guy. I have nothing against Matt. I was really thankful for that opportunity, you know, to train with him for 2 weeks, see how he trains and so on and so forth. You know, it's just a great experience. Yeah.
Now, you lost in the semifinals to Joe Stevenson, who is no slouch in himself and experiencing a great success now in the lightweight division, and fought several times for the UFC. What happened there? Was it just, you know, a lot of guys in the welterweight division? The last time you were there was in 2006. And when you left, did they tell you that, you know, you're one of the first guys that they're going to call if they need you, or what was the departure like from the UFC?
Well, on my end, I just fought Joe Riggs that night. That was August 06.
Right.
And got caught in a stupid, lousy, pathetic triangle chokehold, which normally if I get caught in deep in a choke, I'll go unconscious. I'm not going to tap out to it. Problem is I kind of went out, and the second that I went out, he loosened up. So I was only out for about half a second. So I went out, half a second later, come back to him, and I'm like, oh, where the hell am I? And then he reset the chokehold, which wasn't that bad, but it, you know, wasn't as bad as the first time he had locked up. But when he reset it, I didn't know where I was at. All I knew was King Choke's identity cap. So I was pretty mad. You know, I just don't tap out the chokes. And so it took me about a half hour in the back room to calm down. I was throwing things around, cussing mad. And, you know, I talked to Joe Silva, and I was really kind of let down with myself about that loss, especially losing that away, you know, 2 minutes into a first round, something like that. So I'd asked Joe, I basically told him, man, I just, you know, is it cool if I get some fights out on the open circuit? You know, fine-tune some skills, get some confidence built up. I just didn't feel good about that whatsoever. And he said, yeah, that's cool. So that was what happened on my end. On their end, you know, I just lost 2 fights in a row, you know, off of that contract. So they released me in the aspects of, you know, go out, get some fights in. I'm sure that, you know, I get a winning streak put back together, beat up some people. They'll give me a call back. It's just a matter of me doing what I got to do to get to that point.
For a guy such as yourself, is that the goal right now? I mean, there's a lot of organizations that are that are springing up, some very viable options, Elite XC, the IFL, now perhaps HDNet fights. Are you focused on solely getting back to the UFC, or have you even spoken with any of these new promotions?
You know, honestly, right now, I mean, world adjacent, all I want to do is just start winning fights. You know, I don't really care where I fight or how much it's for right now. You know, you'd ask me what, you know, about how I got into it and why I started fighting back in the day when you're fighting for $300 to $500, you know, plus a hotel room for the night. It's a love of sport. It's a love of competition about winning, about being better than that person just for a night. You know, at the end of the night, you know, you're just going, hey, you're just laughing because, like, wow, I did that. I don't really care where I fight out and who or for how much. I mean, this is my life. This is how I make money. I bartend on the side. But it doesn't matter. Do I want back into the UFC, into the top show? Do I want into a main, one of the other bigger shows and fighting, headlining those shows? Absolutely. I'm driven for that, towards that. But in the meantime, as I said, it doesn't matter where, as long as I have a chance to perform and just go forward, you know.
What's the landscape like in terms of, you know, you said you work on the side, bartending, and you started in 1999. Is it, in terms of the economics of the sport, are you pleased with how much fighters such as yourself are getting paid now by all these promotions, and as opposed to, you know, 8 years ago when you started?
Excuse me. I just woke up.
I don't need to bury you over there, Jason.
No. I just woke up, man.
No worries.
Yeah, I was bartending last night, so it was a late night. The money's came up quite nicely across the board. Is it where it should be yet? Now, you know, I mean, top fighters in the world are only making $1 to $3 million a fight, where you look at boxing, say heavyweight boxing, you know, these guys are making $10 to $20 million a fight. So we still got some room or some distance to travel, but it's nice where it's going, to the point where I, like somebody where I'm at, deciding the top five, top 10 in the world, you know, could actually make quite a bit of money doing this as long as you're not injured. You know, and make some sort of a career out of it. 10 years ago, you couldn't have done it. Yeah, so it's really exciting to see the money moving up, seeing the sponsorships, endorsements moving up, so on and so forth. And, you know, it feels really good to be a part of the reason why this happened, you know, being on the early Ultimate Fighter series. You know, it's probably the first couple of Tufts were the primary catalyst for getting this thing mainstream. So it's really cool to be a part of that.
And finally, Jason, you talk about the Ultimate Fighter. One of the guys that you fought in previously in your career is Mac Danzig, who is a current member of this season of the Ultimate Fighter and doing quite well. Without a doubt, one of the favorites to come out on top this season. You guys fought to a draw. So, you know, I'm curious. So what are your thoughts on Mac Danzig? And, you know, would you like to get another shot at the guy?
Funny you should say that. First of all, Max my horse on that one. I'm pulling for him to win, and I have very malicious reasons why. Aside from him being a good guy and us being friends, you know, we talk every now and then. I wish him the best. Hope he wins the thing. Two, if he wins the thing, this is really good. You know, I'm the only person he has a draw to. So it's kind of like a way back into the UFC or into the limelight. You know, if he wins the reality show, then it might make sense to bring me back in as a fight for him. You know, draws are kind of hard to sleep with, because you know that, you know, you're halfway there to winning. You know, it's like, okay, let's pick up where we left off. So, you know, as I said, I'm really hoping that he'll win. You know, I'm hoping that he'll win. I'm hoping that I'll get a few wins put together. And then that might be access to get back into the UFC when it's the right time.
Very smart. You're thinking like a booker right now.
Hey man, you got it. It's a business. You on the fighter spectrum of it, fighter end of it, you do it for fun. But when you make a career of it, you gotta look at it in the business aspect. What's gonna get me where I wanna go, what's gonna make me the most money, what's gonna put, a roof over my head and feed me. Right now, Mac Danzig is a very good way to get food in my belly. So, as I said, I really hope he wins, and it'd be really cool to get a shot at rematching him, just for competitive purposes. It's one of those draws that our fights that happened is a draw, and a little bit of controversy if you ever see the fight. I don't really care to go into it, but it's just like, okay, let's see who's better now. We both had the same experience, got to go on this show, we've had a lot of fights, so I think it'd be a fun rematch.
Certainly one that I think a lot of MMA fans would pay to see. Jason, I really want to thank you for taking the time out, especially after a late night last night. And, continued success to you, whatever ring you might be or cage you might be fighting in, and especially this coming Saturday night. Like I said, thanks for taking the time, and good luck to you.
Hey, right on, Ariel. I appreciate it. Let me plug a couple sponsors really quick, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Doug Fightwear, this is local boys out of Central Valley. Really cool. Obviously, Tap Out. They've been with me from the get-go of this, and those guys are just the best out there. Enrage.com is an energy supplement, caffeinated energy strips. Something got to keep you going. And the stuff is just awesome. MG Sports. This person that I get my supplements from, Matt Gaines, mgsports.com. And the guy's just the coolest guy ever. And then finally, for this show, it's called Pure Combat. You can check it out at purecombatmma.com. It's a brand new show. They got me headlining it. I'm fighting for the welterweight title against Brett Cooper. And I'm really excited and looking forward to this. And the final thing is MySpace.com/LiveWire187 is a great way to get a hold of me. Or you can go to jasonvonflew.com, which right now will lead you to that MySpace page because my website's ghetto fabulous right now. but we'll be revamping it here shortly.
All right. Great stuff, so. Jason. And, if you're in the California area, definitely check him out this coming Saturday. Good luck, and definitely stop by the park in the future to let us know what's going on in your career, and hopefully we can try to set up that Danzig versus Von Flew matchup.
Oh, man, that'd be a blast. Right on. Thank you very much. Pit Fight Team, yo.